So what's there to be depressed about? We've got Thanksgiving coming, turkey, ham, lots of great food. We've got school. We're out of school for a few days, aren't we? The university's out for a couple of months now. Got family coming. What's to be depressed about? As we think about our lives and the upcoming holidays, it's a great blessing to have the opportunities that we have. And yet, there are many, many people who will not have the joyous celebration that we think of when we think about holidays. Black Friday has already started, hasn't it? I've seen advertisements on TV. Some of you may have already, probably have already bought Black Friday stuff. But in the old days, when they had just the Black Friday right after Thanksgiving, people would get up and be at stores at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get in line, to get those things that would make everybody happy and excited. But life just doesn't work that way on a consistent basis. This morning, I want us to think about understanding depression. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. There may be someone in the room who has a real physical difficulty that leads to depression, some psychological difficulties that lead to depression, and you need help from a counselor, from a psychiatrist. That's not who I'm really talking to this morning. I'm talking more along the lines of what I think of as congregational depression, because everybody in this room gets depressed from time to time. Sometimes that depression is brief, sometimes it lingers, and there are reasons for that. And as we think about it, you've just heard read Psalm 143, verses 7 through 9. We want answers sometimes. Why do I feel this way? Why am I in the mess I'm in? How do I get myself out of this? And we have all kinds of questions, and we want the Lord to give us an answer now so that everybody within the sound of my voice, both those online and those in this room, we want a joyous, happy Thanksgiving so great it will carry us all the way through Christmas and New Year's. Isn't that what we want? But as we know, life does not work that way. So we come to think about David, and he is asking God to show him the way that he should go. And he says, the reason I want you to show me is I trust you. It's hard to trust God some days, isn't it? Hard to trust him when you get up feeling bad. You young folks, when somebody likes you or doesn't like you, or you get a date broken, there's some problem, it's hard to think about trusting God to show you a great way to live life because it doesn't seem so easy. We start thinking about grief, and we start thinking about older people. We need to think about our young people as well. They are touched by grief, and grief is not just death. It is about death sometimes, but it's about any kind of serious loss. When you don't get what you want, when you don't get to feel the way you want to feel, it's a loss, and we grieve from our very young to those of us who are older. And so we need to trust God to show us the way as we should go. Everybody in this room is under some kind of stress. Now, before I'm through, it may be how long I'm preaching that you're under, but you get under stress of different kinds. And as you stress, you come to feel depressed. Isn't this ever going to go away? The circumstances that we are in, the pain we feel, the hurt we feel, isn't it ever going to go away? And so our stress will cause us some depression, and then we become anxious about life. And living with anxiety, I'm talking about not normal anxiety, but above the anxiety that is normal. Everybody has some anxiety. You wouldn't function well without some anxiety. But when you become so anxious about something or some circumstance, you can fail to function in life as you should. Well, when you do, you're going to be in good company. Look at what Moses said. He's telling God. Can you imagine telling God? We do sometimes. You can't imagine it. Because Moses said, hey, I'm not able to bear all these people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. There are people who get in such a mess in life. They would like for the Lord to just take them on. It may be an illness. It may be pressure because of decisions that we've made. It may be of our own making. It may not be of our own making. There are a lot of circumstances in life that we have no control over that bother us, that hurt us, that create stress, that cause anxiety and depression in our lives. Moses was there. Go ahead and take my life. But if you look at Elijah, you remember Elijah the prophet? He said he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. He said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He was depressed. He needed help. He needed guidance. He needed something. But when you think about Jonah, I don't know when I learned about Jonah. I remember so much those little Bible classes for me, small in number, at a little country church. I remember getting coloring sheets, and there's this man dressed like we would think of folks back in that time dressing, and here's a big fish. And we hear this story, and we think, wow. But Jonah is not a happy camper because God did something Jonah didn't want to happen. God saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Jonah's upset about it. He's depressed about it. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was this not what I said was going to happen when I was still in my own country? Therefore, I previously fled to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious, you're a merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from harm. Now, therefore, O Lord, please let me die. Isn't that amazing? God has demonstrated and shown his gracious love and mercy to a great city. And Jonah is saying, I hate this. I told you, God, that was going to happen. Now let me die. He's depressed over the circumstance that he's in. We don't get that, I don't think. I don't get it. You may get it. But his national fervor was so great, he wanted to just die instead of see these people in the way that they were. Now, I want you to think for a minute about yourself. All of us, we have mental and spiritual plateaus. And geographically, a plateau is a high-level plot of ground, and sometimes it's very large. If you're driving across the state of Tennessee toward East Tennessee, you're going to drive across a big plateau. And it's a beautiful place. Now, as we think about ourselves, we're not just thinking about a geographical place, but sometimes spiritually and mentally, we have those plateaus. It's a relatively stable period or condition. Now, sometimes it's not always super positive. It may be just average, but it may be quite a low. I can tell you this. I hope that you have seen Jan and me together enough to know that I love Jan. But can I tell you honestly that some mornings I just wake up and I don't feel like I did yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, I might have felt so much in love, I just wanted to stay there in bed with her, and I just want to be close to her and tell her great things. But today, I'm not the same. I don't feel the same. I can't force myself to feel the same. We're all that way. Some days things seem so good and easy and we just look forward, but some days we're very hesitant about life and it's very difficult. We may do what we need to do, but we just don't feel the same. And we come across those spiritual and mental dry places. And sometimes for people, they last a good long time. There's nothing wrong with either kind of plateau, that is, a spiritual one or a mental one. And when I say there's nothing wrong, it's a normal thing. That's what I mean. It's normal for you not to appreciate worship some days like you do others. I can tell you, sometimes I come to this building and I just am having a hard time worshiping. I'm having a hard time paying attention to the songs and what they mean and what they should be saying to me, because I am on one of these plateaus where I may be having family problems. One of my children may be off in la-la land somewhere doing things they have no business doing, and I'm sick about it. And I come, and I should be able to open myself up to God and let God help me through that time. But you know what? I'm human. And I have a hard time getting up and feeling joyful. But I come and I trust God and I do the things God requires of me. But I don't feel the same. How about you? Some other days I come and wow, do I ever feel close to God. It seems like the songs that have been selected were selected by God Himself to bring me right into His presence. You see, those are normal kinds of things that happen to us as human beings. So when you get on a plateau, you have to understand that's a normal thing in life for everybody. I don't believe there's a person in this room or listening online who doesn't experience those kinds of things. And one thing plateaus do for us is they help us find a rhythm in life. I don't want loud, joyous music when I'm sad and down. I may want a different kind of music. You see, I don't want you. I wear Jan out. I wake up, I'm ready to go in the morning. I'm in, rocking and rolling, and I'm beating drums on the bathroom counter, trying to shave and do all of these things. And Jan is in there saying, would you please shut up? I'm trying to sleep. You see, I get going, and she's a little slower getting going. And when we start thinking about how we need to live life, those plateaus can help us. I need to be thoughtful about the way she is in the morning. I need to be thoughtful about the way I am in the morning so that I can respond in a proper way. 99%, someone said, of our life is somewhat ordinary. That is, we're on this plateau, we don't feel good, we're going to do these things and we're going to keep working at it, we're going to do what God wants, but we're not feeling great. If something happens and we can turn around, and we're blessed with a greater feeling and we are better. Those are wonderful things, and that's what happens to every one of us from time to time. Why do we have them? Well, they allow us to set a course in the right direction and pursue it every day, regardless of the feeling that you have. You want to be consistent in living the kind of life that God wants you to live. Plateaus teach us the importance of perseverance day after day, after day, after day, after day. And you can only take one step at a time. You may say, well, I can take a big step. Yes, you can, but it's still only one step. It's still only one step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And as we live life day by day, we have to face that. Now, here's the problem. There are some people in this room for whom one step is painful. Did you notice? Here's Roy coming up the stairs. I come up like that. And did you notice Soko coming up the steps? He comes up here. And then he just gets going, and he's lively. You see, you can tell by the way he came up these steps that taking one step for him physically is not tough. But I can tell you this, if he hasn't, he will face some days where some of the steps you have to take are tough. And he knows that and he teaches that. And we may have people who are hurting physically today. We may have people who are hurting relationally today. We may have people who are sitting in hospice care with people they love. We've had great people who buried family members. We've helped bury some of our own church family members. Those plateaus that they are on are going to be pretty consistent. We watch the people that we love sit with those who are on hospice care. They know how to plan their lives. I can tell you this, I've no clue where Ben Flats ever played golf or not, but I can tell you this. You call Ben Flats and say, hey, there's a group of guys playing golf on tomorrow morning, let's go. He's not going to plan that into his life because of the plateau that he is on. And you and I are on a plateau, and we make our plans based on that plateau, and we think about our feelings, and we just continually need to map that out with God. You see, there are people who came to this building today, maybe for an experience. You were hoping the song leader would lead this song because you love it, and it just makes you want to come up out of your seat when you sing it. Oh, but he sang this old song that we sing all the time. Or he sang a song I don't know one word to, and I'm sick about it. You see, you came expecting to be lifted up out of your seat, maybe. It's not why we come to worship. We come to elevate God. We come to elevate other people. That's what our responsibility is. And if it doesn't happen that I get that experience, I might be one of those adrenaline junkies who has to have that. And so your preaching is dull, your singing is dull, your prayers are too long. And so we get all of these things going in our mind, and we don't get that experience that we think we have to have because we're expecting all of these things to happen to us instead of us living on this plateau where we give to God and give to other people. Here's why. We hurt sometimes because God's trying to shape us into the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is trying to make you and me like Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were like Christ? If you think yes, think about hauling that cross up Golgotha Hill and laying down, or being laid down more likely, and having those nails hammered through your hands and feet, watching people that you are dying for coming by, making fun of you, mocking you, spitting on you, cursing on you. You want to be like the Christ? You want to be conformed to his image? It's going to be a hard way to go. Most Christians, in fact, I think pretty much all of us, go through seasons of spiritual dryness, where it just doesn't seem to be everything that it's supposed to be. And so we go through this dry spiritual period. But here's the thing. What a great passage. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, we look in the mirror, and what should we see? We should see an individual who is transforming slowly, day by day, step by step, into the image of Christ. And it's not easy. There are few giant steps that anybody can take, so we are transformed into that image as we live life and as we see the things that we need to see. I believe it's true that we become what we behold. What image are you beholding? You see, if you behold the image of a model, you're going to be worried about your makeup, you're going to be worried about your hair, you're going to be worried about your dress, you're going to be worried about all of those things. If you hold the image of an athlete in your hand, you're going to be like I was as a kid. I went through every house I came into jumping up. Before I was big enough, I was jumping up trying to touch the top of the door. And I would jump I would run. I would do things because I beheld the image of an athlete. You're going to try to become what you behold. And you need to be beholding the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because we can only be transformed little by little. There's no magic potion. There's nothing that says tomorrow, let me tell you, you're going to feel so spiritual, you're going to feel so great, and it'll never go away. Won't happen because you're human. You can grow and you can be better and do better, but this transformation is a lifetime of work. Now, this morning, God is at work in you. You're God's child. God is at work in you. And here's something you need to know. When I was your age, this group right here, when I was your age, my main worry, even during a sermon most often, what am I going to be able to do this afternoon that will make me happy? I wonder if Mom's going to let me have the car so I can drive over to the park and play football with you guys, or drive to the sports center and play some basketball with you guys. That's what would have made me happy. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to do things that were happy. And us older folks are the same way. We want to be happy too. Now, it doesn't take as much in that way to make us happy. But it takes a lot to make us happy some days. But you see, God is not committed to make you a great athlete or a beautiful model or whatever it is that you behold. God is committed to making you like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever is happening in your life today, you can use to help transform you into the image of God. Some of you are happy today. Things have just really worked out. But for some, things haven't worked out. Whatever it is in your life today, God can help you use that to transform you into the image of God. For most of us, I want to say all of us, but some people don't like that. But for most of us, that transformation is long, it's hard. I was reading, and there was an illustration about a harvest festival in India. An old widow arrived at her church with an extraordinarily large offering of rice, far more than the poor woman could afford. The preacher of the congregation did not know the widow well, but he did know that she was very, very poor. So he asked her if she were making this extra large donation in gratitude of some unusual blessing. And she said, "Yes. My son was sick, and I promised a large gift to God if he got well." The preacher immediately said, "And your son recovered?" The widow paused for a moment and she said, "No. He died last week, but I know that he is in God's care, and that's what I'm thankful for." It doesn't matter what plateau you're on. You need God's help. And if you're on a really down plateau because of your spiritual life, you can change that today. There's some things you can't change today. You can change that today by turning your life over to God. If you're a child of God and your life is on that level of plateau that's unhealthy spiritually and unhappy spiritually, turn that around by coming to the Lord. If you're not a child of God and you know what you need to do, but you haven't done it, and it grinds at you, you can change that today by repenting of your sins, being buried with Christ in baptism. That's our hope for you as we sing this song. To turn your life in a better direction. And if that takes a public response, please come as we stand and as we sing.